Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Persons listening to this show are exposed to the truth. This has proved to be deeply disturbing to liberals, sometimes causing mental disorientation and distraction. If you are a liberal and operating heavy equipment or are engaged in potentially life-threatening activity, be forewarned. Pastor Scheidbach is about to make you mad. The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jim Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
My dear mother lives in Florida. I spoke with her this morning, concerned about the hurricane, Hurricane Matthew. It was a Category 4 coming out of Haiti, and I understand it's been downgraded to a Category 3. That's good news. It's still serious, however. And, of course, we're continuing to pray. 300 killed in Haiti, I understand, one in U.S. so far, at the last report that I received, so we are praying. You know, as I look over the news this morning, the story that seems to be emerging, once again, is how the MSM treats news as propaganda. And when the story does not do enough to push their agenda forward, they throw it into the spinner, the spin cycle. Yeah. You know, first they wash out any conservative supporting contaminants in any story they're handling, and then they throw it into their spin cycle before they put it out there for the rest of us. The metaphor probably needs a little more work, but you get the idea. MSM reporting on the economy is like reading Pravda in the 60s or 70s or even the 80s, reporting on economic life in communist Russia. A story about an economy where people are starving, but hey, you know, everybody has a job, right? Unless you are a hooligan, of course, you know, one of those Christians who don't work because, well, the government refuses to let them work back in the day and then throws them into prison for being hooligans, for hooliganism, right? Which is not having a job. See, there's a way to solve the jobless problem. Throw them in jail if they don't work. And hey, this is a twofer. Because you can make it a crime to not have a job, and then you can select certain people that you'll mark as people that can't have a job, and then you can throw them into jail for not having a job. Here's Hillary! Yeah, you know, the joke in Russia was that Pravda Izvestia, you know, the names for the communist newspaper, the official newspaper in communist Russia back in the day. In Russian, Pravda means the truth, and Izvestia means the news. So the joke was that there's no truth in Pravda and no news in Izvestia. So here you go. Watch carefully as I put some light on the economic news coming out of HuffPost, WaPo, etc., spin cycle. So first, the facts. The August job gains report was way under expectations, looking for over 180,000 new jobs. The jobs number comes in at a dismal 151,000. And then the September numbers come in under expectations as well. But only slightly, according to one reporter's calculation. He has an odd calculator, because the number, very hard to find, by the way, was this. They expected 175,000 new jobs, but only 156 new jobs were created in September. Now, that's a difference of 19,000 jobs, but my main point right now is that the numbers were under expectations, and then and by over 11%, by the way. And second is this. The Obama method for calculating unemployment, very creative, invented during his first term leading into his reelection bid, it is to remove from the equation all of those who stopped looking for work. And therefore, all the numbers you hear now are fixed, man. They're rigged, you know, like a Democrat election. In Chicago. Anyway. And the fact is, you see, there are 94 million people, quote, out of the labor force, end quote. What's the difference between someone who is unemployed and someone who is out of the labor force? Well, you see, in both cases, they don't have a job. And in both cases, they want a job, or at least most of them do. So what is the difference? Okay, let me try to make some sense out of this for you, all right? The out-of-labor force number, that includes everyone 16 years old and older who meet three criteria. First, they are 16 years old or older, all right? And so the idea, they are theoretically employable. However, number two, they are not employed. And that brings us to number three. And they are not receiving unemployment benefits. So, therefore, they're presumed to be no longer actively seeking employment, and they're out of the labor force. This number, the out of the labor force number, has risen from about 77 million in 06 to a little over 94 million as of the latest report in September 2016. Now, folks, that's an increase of 17 million people. Another important number when we're looking at this is called the participation rate. Now, this calculates the percentage of people actually participating in the labor force as compares with the whole labor force that's out there. So, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the labor force is comprised of approximately 256 million souls. Now, that's the population in the United States that are 16 years old and older. Okay, so the participation number calculates how many of these people are actually participating in the labor force, which means either they have a job or they are actively seeking one. You see, it doesn't count the number who are taking odd jobs here and there, who are living in the basement of their parents' homes and so on, because they can't find a job. So the participation number has decreased from 66% in 06 to 63% at present. Now, this can get confusing, so I'm going to try to make it simple. The total labor force is in the area of 256 million, and that's all persons 16 years and older that are theoretically employable. In 06, 66% of that number were in the labor force. And that would mean that they either have a job or they're seeking one. And so that would calculate out to about 170 million people in the labor force. Well, today, that number is a bit under 63%, or roughly 161 million. I think it's 158 million and some change. And that means from 9 to 10 million more people have joined the ranks of those who are, quote, out of the labor force, end quote. So if you look at this graph that I have right here, my never nicotine-stained fingers, you rush, you can see that the unemployment rate has dropped significantly as the not in the labor force number has risen dramatically. Now, that's kind of weird. According to this chart, the out of the labor force number increased by about 10 million, as I pointed out, from 06 to the present. And as that number has climbed, well, the unemployment number has mysteriously dropped. How does it happen that the unemployment number decreases while the number of people who are not working increases? Do you remember how the liberals snarked Reagan's economic plan as voodoo economics? Listen, folks, no one does voodoo economics like the liberals can. By the way, you know that Bush 1 came up with that voodoo thing, don't you? But, you know, when he was running against Reagan in the primary back in 79, I was sitting with a lifelong friend, Bill Munson. Hello, Bill. And the news of Reagan's VP pick was announced, and I said, well, that's the end of the Reagan Revolution, or something to that effect. One world or new world order, Bush won. And you probably heard, by the way, that he said he's going to vote for Hillary. Another one worlder. This is a rumor. I understand that. Someone repeating something they say they heard him say to them. But when his spokesperson was asked directly about it, well, the response was, you know, one of those neither confirm nor deny type of comments, right? Can you believe that anyone with sense could prefer Hillary to Trump? I totally get being disgusted with Trump, but even I don't dislike him so much as to go so far as to vote for Hillary. Unbelievable. What's that? Oh, come on. But if I don't vote for Trump, I have voted for Hillary. I get so tired of that nonsense. Trust me, friend. You really don't want me to go there, do you? I mean, really, you don't want that. I've said what I need to say about all that. And by the way, I am studying right now what I truly believe is the best argument for voting for Trump that I've heard from a Christian. And so far, I'm not convinced. Now, I thought I had found that a while back, but after I studied it, I realized not even close. But I've studied this pretty closely. Now, this is a decent argument, but it doesn't convince me. I'll tell you what I did say to my friend. I informed this longtime listener to the Ray Massage Show that after I've studied it out completely, if I'm convinced by that argument that I should vote for Trump, well, I will come back to you and I'll go over that argument and I'll discuss it with you thoroughly. But so far, after a first about a two or three passes over it with some deep research and thought, the argument has not convinced me that my position is wrong in this matter. Almost done. Got a few more T's to cross and I's a dot. But back to my point here. Anyway, the way the unemployment number decreases while at the same time the number of people who are not working increases is because when someone loses their job and they get on unemployment insurance, insurance, well, they're on the unemployment list. I mean, they're still counted, let's say, in the active labor force as persons actively seeking employment. So they're counted in the unemployment number. However, after that plays out, you know, they continue to be unable to find a job and they give up and they, what, they go on welfare or they move in with their parents and live in the basement, whatever, that sort of thing. Or they crash in a friend's pad, do odd jobs here and there to subsist. Or some of them scribble out a feed me please message on a piece of cardboard and go sit on a corner somewhere, while others enroll in college taking sandbox courses. I mean, it's kind of ironic, but they, you know, kids go to school these days to drop out in some cases. So anyway, because they are no longer on unemployment insurance, the government does not think they need to be included in the unemployed numbers, which is convenient for lying politicians like Obama, Hillary, and the rest, so they can boast 5% unemployment rates and say, Reagan never had it so good. So the reality is that close to 95 million Americans are not working who are otherwise employable, at least most of them are. And of that number, at least 10 million have dropped out of the workforce since 06. And something like 20 million are on some sort of government assistance program. Now, that is what is actually going on out there. So let's read how HuffPost and WAPO and others present the economic news after it has been washed and spun dried in their spin cycle. Quote, the U.S. economy added 156,000 new jobs in September, government data showed Friday morning, as companies maintained their steady pace of hiring, end quote. Doesn't that sound positive? Isn't that good news? 156,000 new jobs. And yeah, hey, companies, quote, maintain their steady pace of hiring, end quote. Of course, as I pointed out earlier, the expectation was 175,000 new jobs, and maintaining their steady pace actually means that the turtle continues to crawl along at its turtle pace. Let's continue. Quote, the unemployment rate ticked up from 4.9 to 5%. Largely because the labor force swelled with scores of new would-be workers, a sign that Americans are growing confident enough to come in from the sideline, end quote. Well, you know, beyond the admission here that there are, you know, scores, even scores and scores, okay, scores. How about at least 9 million workers off the labor force grid that are never even thought of when it comes to calculating these employment numbers, but are only thought of when they can be blamed for making the unemployment number go up? Unbelievable. Look at this language. Okay, look, first, in spite of the fact that we added 156,000 new jobs as companies maintain their steady pace of hiring, nevertheless, the unemployment rate went up and not down. Why? Wait for it. Here it is. It's because people who before, had given up and were not even looking for jobs have returned to the job market looking for jobs. And now look at this. Oh my, it's a tidal wave of scores of people. Folks, a score is 20. You've got to be kidding me. Scores and scores. Not hundreds, not thousands, not even millions out of the 9 million that have dropped out. A statement like scores suggests, well, I guess he couldn't say hundreds, could he? I guess he couldn't say thousands. He had to say scores? Either that or this public school educated journalist doesn't even know what a score is. Maybe he thinks it's a lot or so. I don't. The MSM spin cycle. It's Pravda, man. Pravda is Vestia. Hillary's a communist. Good heavens. She believes the system is set up to serve her and her fellow rulers. For example, Obama's Justice Department is working overtime to protect Hillary from prosecution for her crimes. The FBI director, James Comey, he conducted a faux investigation into the State Department email scandal. Oh, and I'm quoting here from Jay Sekulow's The ACLJ. Bringing up the FBI director handed out immunity and ignored evidence to protect the Clinton team from prosecution. He put President Obama and Secretary of State Clinton's political legacy ahead of the law. He made secret deals to destroy evidence thwarting congressional subpoenas. Now, folks, that is called obstruction of justice. It is a crime. President Obama's FBI director violated the law. He violated his oath of office, end quote. But we're getting so used to this stuff, we don't even think about it anymore. We don't even give it a second thought. Folks, Obama's FBI director did the sorts of things Hillary tried to do back there when she was pursuing Nixon, trying to get him out of office. Things that got her fired, by the way. Can you believe how far we've come? Hillary was fired for attempting to violate the law in order to bring down a political opponent and did not even a tenth of what has been done in front of our face by this FBI director. And now some of you actually think she should be president. Bush won among them. Good heavens, God help us. Hold on through the break, folks. I'll be right back.
Think every American needs a brain massage? We agree. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today. Or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Warning, we have learned that some liberals choke on even a small piece of Pastor Scheidbach's mind. If you've got a piece of Pastor's mind stuck in your throat, there's only one way to get it out. Call 888-770-8000 and give him as big a piece of your own mind as you can find. Call 888-770-8000 and don't worry, Pastor Scheidbach can take it. Call 888-770-8000 and leave your message during the break. Your brain massage will continue in just a moment.
Lights on, Pastor. I appreciate the Brain Massage Show, and I know it takes a tremendous amount of time and money to produce it. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to appeal to your patriotic listeners to help support the show. So listen up, patriots. You know, there really aren't very many people out there that are doing anything to fix the mess this country has gotten itself into. Pastor Scheidbach is hitting the nail on the head and has really zeroed in on the root cause of not just our nation's problems, but the whole world's. And that is the abandonment of God's principles in our governments, our churches, our schools, and our families. You won't hear politicians speaking the kind of truths that need to be told to affect the kind of change we need. And here is someone who's like a voice in the wilderness trying to get the message out. He needs to be supported, people. You might be saying, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, you could do something patriotic by helping the Brain Massage Show. You can help support the cure and not the problem. Do like I do, go to thebrainmassageshow.com and click on the donate button. Donate a buck, maybe two, whatever you can. And then go tell a friend about the show. Send a link to everyone on your email list. Do it for your children, your grandchildren, your country. Do it for God. Then you can go to sleep tonight knowing that you did something to help. Well, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for your courage, and keep up the good fight. We're counting on you. Lights on.
The devil beware. Pastor Scheidbach is on the air.
Stand by.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse, your brain masseur, and Paul Revere's lantern lighter. Lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, singling the enemy is on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. Pravda Izvestia. In the heyday of the communist regime in Russia, the official government-controlled and sanctioned newspaper was called Pravda and also referred to as Izvestia. Now, Pravda means truth, and Izvestia means the news. And the Russians saw through all this, and they considered it a joke. They had a saying in Russia. And they would speak it in English to make their point, at least when I was visiting with them. They would say, quote, there is no truth in Pravda and no news in Izvestia. And then smile ironically. No English truth in Russian truth. That's interesting if you think about it. It used to be that journalists in America, at least, actually sought the truth. So perhaps it was unintentional. But when my Russian friends said this in English, it kind of came out as, there's no American idea of truth in the Russian idea of Pravda. But that has changed. We have caught our media fabricating news. And yet many Americans continue to support them. I mean, they're losing audience all the time. But the education establishment, we must admit, have done a pretty good job of teaching our children Pravda in place of truth. I mean, listen, we're trading truth for Pravda. The objective truth corresponding to reality for propaganda news. News sources today are almost all propaganda. The irony is that they see the alternative media as being all about propaganda. And you know what? There are many conservative news sources that are as ideologically driven as the left-wing media are. I get stuff sent to me all the time from conservative sources that, after I check it out, proves to be something contrived on the spinning wheels of the right. You know, cherry-picked facts woven together to present a picture that supports a particular point of view. It's a mistake, my friends. It doesn't serve us. You know, it's one thing to have a point of view that provides a kind of context in which you interpret news, but it's something else to manipulate the news to fit that point of view. And, you know, there are violators on both sides of this. It's wrong and it's deceitful. And, you know, I've come to expect that sort of thing from the left. And really, it's pervasive there, since they've embraced an ideology of the ends justifies the means. And we, you know, we hear it all over the landscape of the left today, where you hear about teachers encouraging students to cheat or excusing it, explaining it away. And you know what I mean. Truth is relative. It's like I pointed out last week, relative truth makes the whole concept of truth irrelevant to culture, and so facts and correct apprehension of them is no longer relevant. And that will just lead to a breakdown. I can't go back into it. Truth today is seen as the ideology standing behind the movement. And it's exactly what communist Russia did. It is exactly what Pravda was all about. And it should not be surprising to us then that, friends, we are about to elect our first communist president. Well, actually, I guess we already did that with Obama, but Hillary will be Obama on steroids. Believe me, really, she'll take this whole thing to a new level of Clintonian corruption. That email scandal is so far past the typical political dust-up. This is serious stuff, and this thing with Benghazi, look, here's the next thing to come out. Quote, breaking, Hillary blackmailed, arms dealer issues stunning threat to destroy campaign, end quote. Have you heard about Mark Turi? He's an American arms dealer who in 2014 was charged with, well, four counts of federal offense, but two counts of arms dealing. You know, he was selling arms to Libyan rebels fighting against Gaddafi. This was in violation of the Arms Export Control Act. He was also charged with two counts of lying to the State Department. Now, his defense was that he was participating in a State Department plot to arm rebels in Libya. Yeah, with Hillary's sanction. Now, rumors have been bubbling just beneath the surface about this for a long time. You know, that Benghazi, this whole Libya thing, that it was related to this business of illegal arms dealing. That our ambassador was in Benghazi on business related to covering up or related to disposing of arms that were part of this undercover operation. But you know how it goes when government officials go out of their way to hide something like this. It just, you know, it really provokes so many conspiracy theories. In this case, using the absurd ruse of the movie made him do it nonsense, which was an absolute lie, and they knew it was a lie at the time, refusing to give Christopher Stevens, our ambassador to Libya, the support he asked for repeatedly. Anyway, rumors suggest this was a setup to get rid of Stevens. Anyway, this arms dealer apparently blackmailed Hillary and Obama into dropping all charges against him by threatening to go public with his accusations. And apparently, he has proof enough to scare Hillary and Obama that they were, or she was at least, complicit in his illegal arms trafficking in Libya. Arms, by the way, that are reported to have moved from Libya into Syria and have gotten into the hands of ISIS. Mark my words, my friends, this is what they're covering up. So now we read this. I quote, an arms dealer who publicly blackmailed Hillary Clinton has had all charges against him conveniently dismissed by President Barack Obama's Department of Justice, according to Politico. On Monday, 1 month before the election, lawyers for Obama's Department of Justice filed a motion in Phoenix federal court to drop all charges against him. Now, you did hear that some of Hillary's emails, the few that survived her efforts to destroy them, you know, among them were emails that proved, that show that Clinton pushed for the flow of weapons into Syria. Yeah, she was calling for that. So Clinton wanted weapons to flow into Syria, into the hands of the rebels who were there laboring to take out Assad. The rebels who are laboring to take out Assad have become none other than ISIS. The terrorists Russia points to as their excuse for stepping in to prop up Assad. Are you getting all this? Clinton's closest advisor is Muslim Brotherhood-connected Huma Abedin, wife of former Well, the former wife of former running for mayor Wiener. It's unreal. I'm not going to go there. But you see what I mean when I tell you. Look, I hear heaven laughing at these idiots. And now with Huma, it's actually worse than any connection she might have with Muslim Brotherhood. She's connected to a group called Muslim Minority Affairs. And she was actually a journalist for their organ, their journal. And her father started the whole thing. Now, this is an organization that was started by her father in Saudi Arabia under the sponsorship of Abdullah Omar Nassif, who is a high-ranking officer in the court of the King of Saudi Arabia, known to be a supporter of terrorism. After 9/11, it was revealed that this fellow, Nassif, and his organization funded Osama bin Laden. Newsweek wrote this about a month after 9/11. Quote, the Saudis have probably done more to penetrate Al-Qaeda than any other foreign intelligence service, but Al-Qaeda, in turn, has penetrated the Saudi regime. Two interrelated global charities directly financed by the Saudi government. The International Islamic Relief Organization and the Muslim World League have been used by bin Laden to finance his operations. The operations were left off the list of groups sanctioned by the United States last week, U.S. officials hinted to Newsweek, in order to avoid embarrassing the Saudi government. Of course, Newsweek would write that when it was an opportunity to take a shot at Bush. They wouldn't say it now, you know, to the old Bamster who would bow to the King of Saud. So let's see. Hillary wants war in Syria. Yeah. Calls for investigation into war crimes committed by Assad. And calls like such as these are coming from the likes of John Kerry. Even Obama is making noises in this direction. Can you believe it? I've heard that Soros is behind this interesting turn. Only they don't want to go after ISIS. No, that's not what they're interested in doing in Syria. They want to go after Assad. Of course, this is going to bring us into open conflict and actually an open war with Russia. I mean, there is talk of instigating a war with Russia coming down from several high officials, Kerry being among them. Even Obama's making noises about entering into war with Russia there in Syria. Is this the October surprise plan for this election cycle? What is going on here? Liberals want war with Russia? Do you trust any of these jackals? Don't you know there's some other... God help us. Hillary is under the influence of a Muslim operative who has connections with those who funded bin Laden. And she wants to go into Syria to remove Assad, which, of course, puts her on the side of ISIS, whom Obama has been very loath to get serious about destroying, or have you noticed? Man, this is such a huge mess. Assad's a creep. Putin's a creep. Trump's a creep. And yet, Hillary's creepier. ISIS is creepier. And Huma Abedin, creepier. I mean, it's like a choice between creep and creepier. Either way, we're creeping. Creeping right along. Yeah, this choice between creep and creepier, we're creeping right along. Right into the fist of God and his displeasure against us for trading truth for Pravda. You want Russian Pravda? Well, you've got it. In the MSM here in America... And in Hillary, by the way, Obama, the whole lot of them. We've traded away truth for Pravda. So Pravda is what we're going to get. It's time we return to truth, the truth in a person, Jesus Christ, and the truth in his revealed word, as he said, thy word is truth, referring to the word of God, the Bible. So one way to help with that is to support the Brain Massage Show so truth can continue to be served here. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch. Now you call and let me know you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. Don't need the one if you're using a cell phone. If you want to write to me, go to our website, brainmassage.net. Brainmassage.net or thebrainmassageshow.com. Either of those will work. And my friend, listen, you'll see a place there to partner with us in this ministry. You can become a patron if you go to our podcast site. You'll see it there on the top in the menu. Become a patron and help us financially with this project, this effort. And on either of our websites, brainmassage.net or thebrainmassageshow.com, you'll find a donate button there. Use it. Click on the donate button and give as generous a gift as you can to help us continue getting the truth out there. God bless you. God save America. And I'll see you in church.
Tune in Saturday at 12 noon